Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today is Monday, November 26, 2012. My name is Sally Baptist. I'll be hosting your show tonight. And my co-host is Charlie Klein, and he'll be joining us momentarily. I want to start off by saying I hope everybody had a very nice, happy, nice, safe Thanksgiving Day. I did. Mine was very nice. The weather here in Orlando in Central Florida has been really nice. It was a beautiful day. I want to say I did not go shopping on Thanksgiving Day, and I sure hope you didn't go shopping on Thanksgiving Day. We're going to talk a little bit about that. I labeled the show tonight, Thanksgiving Day 2012, The Moral Decline of Many Americans. And I'll talk about what it means or what has seemed to have happened on this day and the nutsiness, the frenziness of what's going on out there at the retail stores. So we'll talk about that in a few minutes. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the fact that we can still reverse Obamacare. It's not over yet. I'll give some information that I just got in the last couple of days on this. It is not over yet. We people must not give up easily. We must realize we can keep fighting this, even if those morons in the two houses of Congress, the so-called conservatives, even if they're ready to sign everything away, the people still have their own fight going on, and we'll talk a little bit about that. And then we'll talk a little bit about what's happening over there in Egypt. And, you know, this guy, Morsi, who just comes along and, you know, he says, well, I'm going to take over. I take all the powers. You guys get lost. Do a little bit of talking about that, too, because I'm like, well, you know, let's see. It seems to me we got this guy in the White House who says, well, if Congress won't do what I tell them to, then I'll just write executive orders and I'll bypass everybody. And you know, I don't care about them as far as any wars. And I mean, it sounds an awful lot like what's going on right here in this country. So it's really, while people are outraged about what this guy is doing, it doesn't seem like anyone's paying attention to the same thing that's happening right here. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And then we're going to also talk about being on the road to World War III. And, you know, tonight, if there's something else you want to talk about, please call in. It's pretty much an open forum tonight. Call in 347-857-4364. That's 347-857-4364. Press 1 to be in the host queue to speak on the air. If you don't press 1, we'll just let you sit out there and listen. Excuse me. And that's okay, too. Going back to the Thanksgiving Day, I don't know about you out there, but Thanksgiving, when they go and start shopping, it was Kmart that was open at like 6 a.m., and these people are all piled up to shop for these toys and these Christmas gifts. I'm like, they have totally lost what the meaning of Thanksgiving is. They have shown that we have no values anymore. The values of this culture have just declined to nothing. You can't take one day to be thankful for what you have. You can't take one day to spend with your family and friends to once again give thanks for what you have and to be thankful for what you don't have. Someone mentioned that to me over the Thanksgiving Day, so I actually thank God for things I don't have, like I don't have cancer. So we can give thanks for what we have and what we don't have. And these people who just went out there, it's like, I don't know. To me, I was just totally disgusted by, you know, I've been disgusted with Black Friday with these people piling up and camping out on the sidewalks. And it's like, you know, if you want something that bad, there's something wrong. When a material item, you're that desperate for it, for strictly personal enjoyment, use, whatever you want to call it, it's not like it's a matter of life and death kind of thing. When these people do this stuff, it shows how we have no values anymore. We value the materialistic things, and I just think it's a reflection of how we are as a society. And we keep asking for God to bless the USA, but it's like, why would God bless a culture that's so void of any values? I don't think God's going to bless people who are more interested and running through some mob mentality, a mob frenzy nutcase situation at Walmart or Kmart or Target or wherever else, strictly to go buy something while rejecting what the day is intended to be, what Thanksgiving is truly all about. I just don't think we're going to get rewarded for that kind of behavior. I think it's all pretty disgusting. And on that note, I definitely did not go shopping on Thanksgiving Day. I will not go shopping on Thanksgiving Day. Some of the reports that I heard, while Thanksgiving Day was a big boom, it made Friday less. People didn't, you know, there was a drop on the Black Friday deal. I mean, I just think you could, seriously do think you could wait until Friday to go shopping. I just don't see how you had to go out there on Thursday. And, you know, the retailers, if you're that void of any kind of values either, what does it say about you too? I mean, it just wasn't going to make that big of a difference for you to open the door on Thursday versus Friday. If someone was going to buy it on Thursday, they would have been there on Friday. It just makes no sense to me. So, anyway, I'm kind of curious if you got any thoughts. If you were one of the, as I call it, nutcases that were out there shopping on Thanksgiving Day, please feel free to call in and say why it was the right thing to do. Tell me why it was more important than taking the day to be thankful for what you have. I mean, I understand people had to work on Thanksgiving Day. There was a valid reason for some people being out there working. If you're working the travel industry, you were there to help people get back and forth from where they're going. You were there to give people a place to stay while they were visiting family out of town. And, you know, so there's definitely a reason to be working on Thanksgiving Day. And I'm not condemning that, but I am definitely condemning this massive mob mentality to go out there and buy something because you're going to get it 5 cents off or $2 off or whatever. I don't know. I just refuse to be part of it. And the stores that have done that, I'm really going to be avoiding them. I don't know that I'll be able to not go in them at all, but I'm definitely not going to be looking too favorably to them. I'm going to look for other options to doing that. And so feel free to give me your thoughts on that one. On that note, let me go ahead and get Mr. Klein in on the call here. He was traveling over the holiday. He spent time with his friends and family up in Ohio. And so how was your Thanksgiving, Charlie? What kind of stories do you want to share with us?
My Thanksgiving week was very just wonderful. I went up there to my hometown, Fairport Harbor, Ohio. And for Thanksgiving, the Hungarian Reformed Church that my girlfriend belongs to does a chicken puppy kosh on Saturday. So I was able to get there in time to see how they put it together and help them serve it and work with them from 9 a.m. to about 7 p.m. And it was a wonderful experience. It really showed how people love God and are willing to work for their church and for the good of the community. Over 150 people had orders in for chicken puppy kosh, which is a specialty dish for the Hungarian people. And so that was really the wonderful kickoff for my Thanksgiving. Monday we shopped. Thursday we did the cooking. And we had her uncle of 94 over. And we gave thanks to God for the wonderful day. And we gave thanks that Andy's cancer was removed by the doctors and another person, and that they are in good health. That is the whole purpose of Thanksgiving, is to give thanks. It doesn't have to be a five-minute prayer. God loves a prayer. It can be a short prayer, 1 minute, 30 seconds, just saying thank you for his many blessings on the day. And then I saw advertisements about people in tents, sitting on the and waiting for Best Buy to open up so that they can get in there on Black Friday. I thought right away, how many of them had EBT cards and were unemployed? That they wouldn't even get off their butts to go get a job for the Christmas holidays to make some extra money, since most vendors, most businesses hire people. No, they had to sit there, smile at the camera, and look like a complete fool who has no idea what the purpose of Thanksgiving is, or apparently what the purpose of Christmas is. They think it's just buying gifts for each other. They have no clue as to what this, the great heritage of this great country is and why it is such a great country. It's a great country because 1.2 brave men and women, patriots, who loved America, died for our freedoms. And that is all the way from the Revolutionary War. And let me tell you, over 450,000 died in World War II so that you can enjoy your freedom and do the crazy things you do. But let me tell you, when you see these people on TV and they think they are so cute and so smart, it actually looks to me like they have an IQ of 1, which is usually represented by the middle index finger. That's about the IQ of those people and the businesses who put up those special deals on Black Friday and then open up early on 8 p.m. Thursday, when that should be the time for families to get together. My pledge this year, like it was last year, is I will not buy from a store that does not have Merry Christmas in it. And if I go into a mall and there are no Christmas decorations by the mall management, I will turn around and walk out of that mall. I won't buy from any of the vendors in there. If the mall, maybe the mall should just turn around and if we ever lost Christmas, the mall would not make the money that it's making now because people would just say, why? I can go shopping in the middle of July because that's just what it's going to be like. You are your own worst enemy when you go for material things because there's a lot more to life than just a material thing. It's what's in the heart that counts. Do you have a heart for your fellow man? Are you like our military, thinking about others, thinking about this great country? If you were one of those who stood outside for hours, tented out for days, just to get in there and get a discount on a TV or something like that, you are really have lost it. You have no idea about this, how this great country was founded and the importance of it. I suggest to all of you who were out there in front of Best Buy waiting for the bargains or in any other line waiting for the malls to open up, your Best Buy is to go to Brass Pro Shops or to the local gun range and buy yourself a gun. Because the way you're acting, you are inviting an attack on this great country. And if that happens, you better have something to protect yourself with. Because they will come. Fortunately, there are over 2 million guns in only 4 states. But if you don't have one, you need to get one. Because your actions are really like an invitation to disaster. Ladies and gentlemen, this country was built, and this country has survived because of people who love this country. They do not live here just to live here. They live here because they love this great country. They understand the Constitution, and they understand that this is God's country, given to us to take care of. And you can either abuse it and lose it, or you can protect it and keep it and enjoy your freedoms. Because freedoms are not free, as proven by 1.2 million brave men and women who died for our freedoms. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Back to you, Sally.
Okay. Well, I think we're on the same page when it comes to taking time to give thanks and for remembering what the holidays, as in Thanksgiving and Christmas,
truly stand for. Right. Yes. And I would also like to say something else about a little organization over here that a lot of people probably don't know about, Our Servant's Heart. This was started by four men in a restaurant booth. They said a prayer and asked God to help guide them into doing something. They all wanted to do something that would be good. Well, they felt God's presence, and they opened up Our Servant's Heart, an organization that started with four men. They got up to 45 volunteers, and now they have 18 churches that are helping them distribute 40 pounds of food every Saturday to single mothers. That's right, single mothers. These are women who do not have a man in the house. They do not smoke. They do not drink. And they do not do drugs. They are concerned with their children. That is a criteria that this Our Servant's Heart works under. And they minister to these people and help get them on the right path. And then help them overcome their deadbeat dads. And it is a wonderful organization. And every Thanksgiving from approximately 10 or 12 years ago when they first started, they deliver a 12-pound turkey to those who are in need and who request them through the proper channels. Last year, they delivered 550 turkeys plus all the trimmings. This year, their goal was 400, but they did again. They reached for over 500 people. If you're looking for a nice organization that you would like to do something good for, contact Our Servant's Heart. They are on Orange Avenue in the old Napa building behind the gas station, right on the corner right near the corner of Neela. And it's a big blue building, and it kind of sits back off of Orange Avenue. But it's right near the traffic light at Neela. And they, for $10, they can get a turkey for Christmas or a ham for Christmas. And then they add all of the ingredients that go with it so that the family can have a nice Christmas dinner. And if you have any toys or any kind of clothing that's in really good condition that you would like, they will make sure it goes to a needy person. Their policy is what comes in the front door goes out the front door. Nothing is paid for, and but there are no charges to the people who are in need. And I'll tell you, I've donated items there, and they have given them to the people in need. And it's really a wonderful feeling because you know that they do not charge anybody for any of the help that they give. It's all volunteers. That will really make your Christmas, because they really do take care of women in need here in the Orlando area. Okay, Sally, back to you.
Well, that was some good information to know. And again, it goes back to what the true meaning of Christmas is about.
Right.
And I'm sorry, what's that?
Well, they have been doing this for so long, and it is Bob who is the number one men, the one who's really been working at it all the time. He is, they've had to move about three times, but somehow God has answered them and always provided them with a place where they could go, like the Methodist Church there, right there in Pinecastle. Let them use the building on the corner of Oak Ridge and Orange Avenue for a few years, no charge. All they did was pay their utilities. But then they sold the church, so now they had to move out finally. And so now they're renting a place. They'd like to buy one, but they need to get more money in so that they can afford to buy a place. But it is a wonderful organization, and everybody that volunteers in there has a huge heart for those who are in need. It's really a wonderful experience to be able to go over there and see how they operate and what they do. It is really very a heartfelt experience just to meet them. My friend from St. Croix came here, and I took him over there, and he talked to Bob and saw what was going on and all that. He reached in his pockets and gave them all the money he had in his pocket, which amounted to close to $100. And then, you know, and I mean, he came with so much money, and fortunately he could afford it, but he had other money that he had stashed away in his when he stayed at my house. But I mean, that's just the type of person he is. I mean, he saw it and was touched by it, and wanted to make sure that they had the extra money for it, and so that's what he did. It is wonderful.
And
okay.
That's in the Pine Castle area in Orlando, right?
Right. Yeah. They're right. They're just like about if you're driving on Orange Avenue north from the Kissimmee area on Orange Avenue, just as you pass the light on Neela Road, just before the split with Hansel and Orange Avenue, there's a road there, and they're right behind there. They're behind a old gas station that's closed, and it looks like it's under renovation or about ready to be torn down. Well, they're in a building back there that's called it's the old Napa building. And they're renting that thing there, and it's giving them all the room that they need. But it would be nice if they could actually get their own place where they don't have to worry about moving or renting or something like that, where it would be their own or, you know, property. But they're hanging in there, and God seems to just, every time they have a stumbling block, God sends them somebody. People have donated vans to them, forklifts, and you name it, because they need these type of things for offloading the material when it comes in, like when the Harvest Food Bank comes in there with a truckload of stuff. They sometimes have to have a forklift to remove the items off the truck because they're up, and to get them into the building. But it just seems like their prayers are always answered, and it's great.
Is there a phone number where some people could reach them? Because even for those who aren't necessarily in the Orlando, Orange County area that wouldn't be able to go to that one, may be able to contact them and try to get something set up in their own community to, you know, coordinate the effort, kind of see what they did and, you know, expand it, if you will.
Yeah, well, this started expanding because what he did was he went and he talked to the different churches, and so he's got 18 of them. When I was there one time, this woman came in and said, I need 12 dinners. And they loaded her car up, and she took them, and they put the chicken. They always had chicken or some kind of a meat product that they got, but normally chickens because that is very easy to handle. They put frozen chickens in there. She would take them to her church, put them in the freezer until Saturday morning. Then Saturday morning, the volunteers from her church would take them and deliver them to the needy in her area. And that's why he's now at 18 different churches around the Orlando area doing different things. And it's Our Servant's Heart, and I think it's ourservantsheart.com would be
okay.
In the, I think that's their website. I don't have the flyer in front of me, but I just thought I'd mention it because we were talking about what people do around Thanksgiving, and this is an organization that does it Thanksgiving, Christmas, and all year long. Every Saturday, they have deliveries going out of there to the needy. And, I mean, it's something. And they do want the person, the mother, to make sure that she is not drinking, drugging, or smoking, and that there's no man in the house, because if there's a man in the house, that means he should be working and helping to provide for them. And their main concern is the children. But they do wonderful work. OurServantsHeart.com, I believe, is what it is, or it's OurServantsHeart.org. And like I said, they are listed in the phone book.
Okay. Well, they have a website. Then again, people from other areas could look, find out how to reach out to them and try to see what they did, you know, because people, other people might want to do something similar. And, you know, they could tell them how to get set up and how to get it started or work with them, whatever. So
yeah.
The more that people can help out, you know, giving, and because obviously he can't be every place, Bob can't be every place, but if he's working with 18 churches, that's a lot.
Oh, yeah, he's got 18 churches, but he's got a lot of volunteers. Like we even have a church member from my church goes over there every Monday morning, and she's about as tall as you are, and she helps load boxes and everything else. She's vertically impaired, too. So
Vertically challenged.
Yeah, she's vertically challenged. But she goes there Mondays, and she does some working and, you know, getting the boxes prepared and everything for delivery. And they have had some special deals, too, where, you know, people have called in, and they've really been destitute for all of a sudden. And they have made special trips to make sure that the person was okay and help them out and see what the situation is and try to, you know, guide them in the right direction. I mean, it's really a wonderful organization. And you can see them, too. They'll be at the, what is it, the Pine Castle, not Patriots. It's like a Patriots Day. But it's the they have it every year, and they have a they had a booth there at the Veterans Day parade on Saturday in Belle Isle, and they held it in the Methodist Church's parking lot. They had a lot of booths in there, and actually it was on that road right behind by the Methodist Church. And they had a lot of booths in that giving out different things, and our servant's heart was there. And so it's an active organization, and they, like I said, they do good work. And that's what this is. Now is a season to be giving, not taking. Those of you on welfare, you've been getting a lot of free money from your fellow Americans who work. It's not money from Obama. It's not money from Congress. It's not money from Senate. It is money from your neighbor who goes to work every day and pays taxes. That's who pays the welfare recipients. And those who are on welfare and don't work and can work, you are a thief. Those of you who are legitimately on welfare because you have a are physically challenged for some reason, or you are temporarily out of work, but you're looking for it, you're okay. It's those who have been on welfare for more than 2 years, more than a year, who have no intention of going anywhere because they found a way to rip off their fellow man. You are not hurting the elected officials. Those of you on welfare who should be working are actually hurting your fellow man, and therefore you are the lowest form of person in the United States of America. You are a low-class person. Okay.
I call them bottom feeders, scumbags.
Bottom feeders, yep.
Yeah. I mean, if you have the ability to be productive and participate in this in our society and contribute, then that's what you should do. Those who
right.
just sit back and leech off of everybody else and expect the world to pay them and think that that we should give them a free phone and all this other nonsense, then, you know, that just, again, goes to the decline of what American
right.
values should be. American values were always about doing more, not doing less. And we've really had a role reversal in the last few years, and this mentality that government's supposed to take care of us, which is why our country is in such bad shape.
Right.
And, you know, the decline of any type of moral values. While we're talking about moral values, I got to go ahead and throw this one thing out there. I saw a video, and I put the video link out there in the chat room. American tax dollars going for the mosque makeovers. So we've got hundreds of millions of dollars going overseas to rebuild their mosques. There can be nothing more disgusting. Here, you know, Christianity and the belief of God and everything in this country, we are under such attack these days, and yet we're spending my tax dollars, yours and mine, our tax dollars, are going overseas to rebuild mosques for the Muslims who hate us. There's just totally nuts.
Who authorized that?
Well, I'm sure it was our... No.
It has to be done by Congress. The appropriations
for money.
Well,
I'm sure they did.
If Congress appropriated money to help rebuild mosques in a foreign country, and it specifically says that, then Congress voted for it. Everybody who voted for it is in violation of the Constitution, Amendment Number 1. Amendment Number 1, Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a church, nor deny anyone their freedom of religion. They are helping to build a church in a foreign country where there are members of the Muslim community living here in the United States. They are totally in violation, again, of the Constitution of the United States, this time in regards to freedom of religion. That is actually a breach of fiduciary responsibility and duty. That is subject to being removed from office and the loss of all pay and benefits. Somebody needs to file a suit against Congress, because Congress won't appropriate any money to rebuild the churches in the United States, because the ACLU will go after them. And the ACLU is in violation of 18 U.S.C. 8241, conspiracy against rights. Now let's get on to this moral thing that you were just talking about. Somebody called me a nut job in regards to my truck. They were looking at my truck as they were getting out of their car and doing something in the trunk of their car. And he looked like he was Hispanic. And his daughter looked at the truck sign up there, and apparently he looked at it too, and he says, "Oh, there's some nut jobs around here." And I says, "Are you calling?" I walked by and I heard it, and I said, "Are you calling God a nut job? Did you read that whole sign? It has to do with the Constitution of the United States." And he still made a remark as he walked away. That's the kind of people that we are allowing into this country and not making them know what this country is all about. He actually made that remark, and I had to say something in return. And that's all caused by the lack of education in this country, the No Child Left Behind by President Bush, Agenda 21 by his father, and the idiocies of the Clinton administration, the Obama administration, and all of those members of Congress, past and present, who are getting rich at taxpayers' expense and who are not deserving of it, plus all of their staff members who are being paid more than the private sector now because of the unions and because of a gutless, spineless, unpatriotic majority of elected officials. This country is going to hell in a handbasket, and guess who gets to get the blame? Each and every American who doesn't understand the Constitution, who doesn't go to school and get a decent education, and who isn't working. Everything about this country is falling down because of them, not because of the hardworking people. It's going to be interesting to see how much of a turnaround the media will do when somebody finally files a lawsuit against them with the FCC and has their permits removed. That would be the greatest thing that could happen right now for ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox. How would you say Fox's affiliates? The Fox affiliates? Yeah, Fox affiliates. Remove their licenses so they cannot bring any news to anybody because they are so, how would you say, convoluted and dishonest.
Yes.
There is one thing that I heard that is absolutely wonderful, and I don't know if you heard it today. Glenn Beck was talking about Agenda 21 in a negative manner. He actually said that this came from George Bush Sr., and it is the GOP is now looking at it as it is probably one of the worst things that could ever happen to this country. That it is giving up, it is actually designed to give up the sovereignty of the United States of America. Agenda 21. Glenn Beck said that.
Yeah, that the GOP had put that in their platform, that they were against Agenda 21, even though you never heard them talk about that at the convention or anything else. So
no.
This was, you know, unfortunately, this was another one of the games the RNC, GOP plays. So they put it out there, but they don't talk about it.
Yeah, because they don't want to upset those who can make money on it. Because those who make money on it can make nice donations to their campaigns, which means we the people have to start saying we really have to file that we the people versus the ballot box establishment. I think that's the word.
Yeah.
We have to file that and get it going and not mess around with it. And like we need to do it within the next 4 months.
Well, we've got a individual here in Florida who's pretty fed up with the way he was treated trying to run for office. So we're still gonna move forward on the We the People versus the ballot box establishment. We're not dropping that one, and of course I'm gonna be moving forward on the interstate public-private partnerships of our interstate highways and our public infrastructure and that stuff, which. That part is knee-deep in Agenda 21, that piece of it. People just need to understand that's all about this globalization stuff. And Glenn Beck's got his book out now, Agenda 21, I'm glad he's doing that because it's going to make more and more people hear about it. So now, you know, he's got it out there too. And so when I talk to people, I say, yeah, you're going to be hearing a lot more about it. You need to understand what it is. I was talking to my niece. She's a teenager now, and I was talking to her a little bit about this on Thanksgiving Day, about what it means and sustainable development. And I said, it's all going to sound good, but you better think about what it really means. It means when you grow up, when you're an adult, you're not going to be able to buy a house.
Right.
You're not going to have the right to have a private.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you heard anything more on the lawsuit against Teresa Jacobs for texting during a meeting?
No.
The insider trading thing and all that type of stuff?
Haven't heard a word. I mean, this is why this government and people allow it. You know, I got to get some people to get together to go down there to one of these commission meetings and get about the sustainable development crap out there, and also about, you know, what are you still doing sitting there?
Right.
Because it's not right, and everybody knows it shouldn't be a citizen having to file a complaint. This is public knowledge that they did this. So why are we having to tell the police to go do their job? What she did was crooked, was corrupt, what they did, the three of them that we know of, that they openly admitted it. So why are they still sitting there?
Right. They should have been removed from office by now.
Definitely.
They should have been indicted and removed from office. But see,
and right now there's been absolutely no penalty to them whatsoever.
No. That's because we've got a do-nothing attorney, state attorney.
And attorney general
Are we still
Pam
stuck
Bondi.
With Lamar? Or did he lose? Did Lamar win again?
I don't know. Mm-mm. No.
I think he got kicked out, didn't he?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe this new
guy.
Yeah,
I think he was actually out of it in the primaries. He lost it early on, so he was out.
That's right. Right. Well, maybe this new guy will do something. Maybe this new guy. We need to send a copy of our complaint to the new state attorney.
Yeah.
or, you know.
Well, when it comes to We the People versus the Ballot Box Establishment, we're looking at two different things, at the state level and at the federal level. A lot of people here in Florida are really annoyed with what happened with this last. I mean, people have been, ever since the hanging Chad and everything else, the people in Florida have been getting more and more annoyed with the way our elections are managed or not managed. And people are actually starting to get a little bit more louder about doing something about election reform. So now is a good time for us to move forward on the state, but we also need to continue on the federal level, too, because, you know, the RNC and the DNC, those are very much nationwide monopolies.
Two illegal monopolies, and as George Washington says, when the people allow the parties to divide them, what we have now is a divided country. Democrats want freebies. Republicans want to save money. That's what they claim. But they're both in bed together spending money for their own benefits. And it's a total monopoly of the ballot box, which is a crime. It's a violation. And the only way we're going to do it is filing, getting that case filed in the thing, which means that, you know, somebody's got to come up with about $350 for the federal, because since it is a violation of the people's rights and a monopoly, it falls under federal guidelines. Maybe we should just go down there and file it and see what they're going to do and not put in for form of pauperis. To say, because they say it takes a while, they have to approve it by the court. So we get to make sure the 16 pages, if we're happy with them, take it down and say, here's our lawsuit. File it. We've got the evidence to go with it.
Yeah, well, with the case of Florida, we're going to be working with the other individual. We're going to meet with him first. And then others who want to, we're going to try to start reaching out to some of these groups who are already complaining about reforming election, too. I think we need to get with them as well, because we're denied the representation of our choice. And I think, you know, with everything that we're seeing happening over in Egypt right now, with Morsi, the guy who was just elected there, I find it so interesting that people are like, they're outraged by what this guy is doing. He's taking power. He's saying, you know, I'm not going to do what you guys say. I'm going to take over, a power grab. I'm in control. You can't overrule me, blah, blah, blah. But look what's going on right here in this country. It's not that different, people. Would you wake up? President Obama, King Obama, he goes out and he writes his own executive rules when he doesn't like what Congress does. He goes to the United Nations about a war. He doesn't go to Congress. He does everything to circumvent the system, and it happens at the very local levels. Teresa Jacobs is still sitting there. She's sitting there. She doesn't care about the rules, the laws. They don't apply to her. So, I mean, it's kind of funny or I find it annoying more than anything else, when people are so disgusted with what this guy in Egypt is doing, when we're doing it right here in our own state. We're doing it right here in our own country. Doing it right here in our own community. I mean, people wake up, you know. Don't be making jokes about what those or criticizing what they're doing when you've got these people right here doing the same thing.
I would say that a lot of the problem that we have in the United States now in the last 4 years and the next 4 years is because people are afraid to be called a racist. And I'm talking about the members of Congress. They are afraid to be called a racist when they actually are doing their job. The whole thing about it is if a person violates the Constitution and the laws of the land, he's a criminal. And you are not a racist for bringing it to the attention of the people. You are an American. You are a patriot because you are pointing to the wrongs of the elected. And Barack Hussein Obama is involved in Benghazi. His White House sent the information for Rice to go out there and talk on the talk shows. It's been over 10 weeks, and they haven't solved it yet. This is 10,000 times worse than Watergate. But they went after President Nixon because he lied about knowing what was going on. Well, who lied in the Obama administration? All of the people around Obama that are shielding him from prosecution? Because that's what the czars are. That's what Janet Napolitano is. All she is a shield for Obama. Susan Rice is a shield for Obama. He can go ahead and give them the orders to do it, but then they're the ones that are going to be the fall guy. However, with the laws of the land and the Constitution, you can bypass those people because they are under oath. And if they lie to the people, then that's a federal term. But we will eventually get to the man who has somehow become elected again, probably because of the hacking of the computers. And every American voter should demand that there will be no computer voting anymore. There will be hard copies. I don't care if it takes a week or 2 weeks to count all of the ballots. They can be done in such a way that they can be broken apart so that you're voting for Congress on one, Senate on one, President on one, and then the issues on the bottom. There's a way to break it down where you've got more than one page so you're not tying up a whole group of people while they go through each and every issue. And the whole thing is you get rid of the computers. You have computers, count them, but then you have the voice, you can have the, how would you say, the physical count with volunteers.
The manual count, yes.
You can have the manual count with volunteers, and the volunteers would get paid a small amount of money for being there. I mean, they would not get rich at it, but they would be doing it for their love of this country to make sure that the voting rights are done right. This will avoid the Battle of Athens that happened in 1946 when the veterans wanted to count the vote. And the sheriff, who was controlling the county, thought he was going to be able to continue dictating to everybody, and the veterans proved him wrong. He was ousted, the votes were counted by the veterans, and normalcy returned to Athens, Tennessee. And that's what we have to do with our great country. We, the people, have to take it back. And I am saying it's time to start thinking about a march on Washington while Congress is in session. And if they do not do what we ask them to do while we are there, then we remove them and go in and vote on them ourselves by having delegates from each state in attendance who think and believe and are patriots like the rest of us. This would be a nonviolent march on Washington, just like Martin Luther King did years ago. But we want 4 or 5 million people to go there so that they understand that they are now dealing with ticked off Americans. And that would be the peaceful way to restore this great country to the way it was designed by God through the founding fathers, a country of honesty, a country of integrity, and not the devil's advocates that we now have, apparently, in most elected positions. Okay.
Well, and on that same note, you talked about the Republicans, people being divided by the parties and stuff. It's not strictly the parties. You talked about racism. So we have to get back to the other piece, the other thing that is so critical if we're going to save this country, which is we must be united as one people. So
right.
When you hear idiots like Rubio, who's, you know, and the parties do it too. I mean, the parties are focusing on dividing people because that's the way they market themselves. It's not about just being an American and doing the right thing for what the country needs. It's about, okay, we're on the campaign trail, so we're in business. We're not public servants. We're in business. So we have to go and dissect our market, the women, the whites, the blacks, the Hispanics, whatever. Of course, you know, they don't go into the Italians or the Finns or any of that stuff, but they go out there and they divide us into these various groups, factions, and then they say, okay, so now this is how we're going to market them. So they're not focused on what doing their job is. So doing their job is, one, what do you believe in for this country? Do you believe in the Constitution? Most of them don't, because you see what they do every day. So what part of the Constitution do you believe in and are you going to follow? Because they're not following much of it these days. So you got to go find out what they believe in, and then you would vote for who you want. But no, they take this other massive marketing strategy, trying to group everybody into some faction and go after it. But it's the people, the American people, who have to be Americans. And I mean, I have sent numerous things to Marco Rubio and to the GOP. So, you know what? Are you a Latino or are you an American? You can't be both. Are you a Hispanic or are you an American? Same is true with African and American, Italian, American. It's all of them. Are you a German-American or are you an American? You can't be both. This was Theodore Roosevelt's big deal. You can have no 50-50 alliance. You have to. Your allegiance has to be to this country and nothing else. So you're either an American and nothing else, or you're not an American at all, which means, Rubio, you're not an American. Yeah.
You have to. Yeah. You cannot have a hyphenated name that where your ancestry is foremost and your American is bringing up the rear. You are an American first with a history of Hispanic.
You're American.
I'm an American.
We don't care where you came from.
Right, sorry. I'm an American, but my ancestry is Finnish. That's fine to say it that way, but I'm an American. I was born in America, raised in America, served my country in the military in America. I am an American. However, I am proud of my Finnish ancestry because the Finns are the only country that paid back their war debts to all of the countries. And that makes me proud to be a Finn. But I am proud, extremely proud, to be an American. I will not put, I am not a Finn American. I'm an American with a Finnish ancestry. You want to be American?
What nationality are you? What do you say?
I'm an American.
Period. See?
Period.
I'm an American. That means you. I mean, let's face it. When if you're an American, with the exception of the Indian Native Americans, if you're an American, that means your heritage is someplace else. Fine. Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
you're an American.
But if you want to keep being called Latino Americans, Mexican Americans, Cuban Americans, what?
Afro American. Afro Americans, they are American.
You're dividing us as a people.
Right. That's right. A person whose ancestry is in Africa, they now call themselves Afro Americans. Hyphenated word. No, they're Americans because they're born here, raised here, live here, and probably screwed, blued, and tattooed here too by some of the prejudiced white people. But they are Americans. Yes, they are obviously have a African ancestry. And that is obvious. But they are Americans. They served this country in World War II and in the different wars. They are Americans. They pay taxes in America. They are Americans. Likewise, all the Latinos, they are Americans first. Yes, then they can turn around and say that, oh yeah, my family is from Spain. That's fine. But they say American first. But that's the hard thing to get switched around because they're so used to putting their background first and then their American allegiance. Like you said, they can't be allegiance to both places. They need to be allegiance to America because they came to America, they live in America, they work in America, and they pay taxes in America, and they serve the country in America. So you're an American.
And if you don't want to be an American, go home. Go back where you came from.
That's right. Go back where you came from and leave us alone.
You know, and Rubio, Rubio is a Cuban. I don't think of Cubans as Latinos. In the more technical sense, Latinos are supposed to be Latin Americans. I don't really call Cuba Latin America, but whatever. But I mean,
no.
He goes out there. They mix the Hispanics and Latinos and whatever. They treat them all as one group, pretty much.
Right.
Even though there is some differences there. But the whole point is, Rubio, if you're more proud of your Cuban heritage, then go back to Cuba. You know, if that's what you want. I mean, if you say you're a Latino, then go back to Latin America someplace, too. Whatever. Be an American and nothing else, or forget it. And but you know, this all drives from these political parties. They drive a lot of this, as George Washington said, because they're out there marketing to a group. They're dividing us. They are dividing us. So
well,
when will we
George
stop
Washington
letting them divide
said in
us?
His farewell speech.
I'm sorry, what's that?
That's what George Washington said, President George Washington said in his farewell speech, and you read it on the show a few weeks ago.
Yeah. George Washington warned us about them dividing us so we will no longer be a united people, and today we're not a united people. And right now, because we are so divided, and it's been the political parties and racists like King Obama who have helped to divide us, like this. I mean, so the American people have to be united again. But it was Roosevelt who stressed the point of being an American and nothing but an American. If you're not an American and nothing but an American, you are not an American at all. You cannot have a dual allegiance. You cannot be 50-50. And this is something we really have to focus on right now, too, as we try to take this country back.
We might have to put that on the side of the truck. Although I do like the sign now that... I do like the sign now that I have up there that says, freedom does not exist without God and the military.
That's
you didn't
right.
see that on there, did you? You didn't see that on there,
no,
though, did you?
Nope, I have not seen the latest on the signs. But we have a caller who wants to participate in this discussion.
Okay.
So let's hold on here. And the last four digits are 9969. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Swallow Dean from New York City. This is a hi, Happy New Year, by the way. But this is a great topic. As you said, the concept of multiculturalism. I'm sure you heard of the Minutemen out on the West Coast.
I'm a member of it. We're members of it.
Excellent. I'm sure you heard of Numbers USA with Roy Black.
I subscribe to that too.
Be there. I'm sure you heard of Virginia Dare. Be there. Listen, we, as you said, there was a time in our country, Roy Beck is so on point, that the immigration was at such a rate that people could be assimilated. Number one, how can we allow, and we're American exceptionalists, the greatest, most powerful country on earth, how can we allow other people to have dual citizenship? Invariably, what happens? Their loyalty is with their country of origin. What happens is that we now have enclaves of competing factions. Multiculturalism is a code word for I'm sure you know what. So we have to change the policies. They're usurpers. The Constitution talks about usurpers who have taken over our government, who are using it to their advantage to implement their policies the way they want, deem fit, oftentimes oligarchs and certain special interest groups. For example, AIPAC. We should not have any foreign government, such as Israel, having influence in our legislature. How do we allow that? So there are many policies that we have that are antagonistic to the average American. I mean, what do you think of it?
I think you're right on.
Exactly. And this is why United Nations has taken over. Little by little, the United Nations has taken over this whole country, and most people don't even realize they're doing it. But they're doing it through this... I'll call it an invasion because I don't know what else you want to call it, but this manipulation of the culture and dividing people up. It's key to destroying this whole country, dividing people up so we are no longer united. I mean, right now, when you think about it, if we had any kind of civil unrest in this country, how do you think it would end up being? How would we be divided up? How many people are going to be fighting each other instead of going after the corruption of this government, which is what we should be doing?
Example, what if we had a subsidy going towards Mexico? How would that look? How many interests do we have with put the war with China or India for our best interest for the American? How would that look since we have so many? I read that 40% of the physicians in this country come from India. How did that happen?
And you know, I'm so glad you mentioned that about the doctors. This is the other thing that has happened, the dumbing down of Americans. While we import people to come over here and go to our schools, then they stay here, And because my father, as many people know, has been sick. He recently passed away. He's spent a lot of time in the hospitals this year. And I'm telling you, probably two-thirds, three-quarters of the doctors I spoke to could not hardly speak English. Try to tell a doctor who doesn't understand you. And yet, but it's just like you said, why are we educating the people over there? We are talk about the same thing that makes you strong also makes you weak. Here we've been such an open society. We've let these people in, and they are truly taking it away from us.
And there's a propaganda that the immigrants enrich our country. Did you remember there was I forget the article, but I read an article that I think 46% of all of the immigrants who have been here over 20 years are on some form of welfare. 26%, and invariably, a lot of these immigrants, they send money back home to their country of origin. There are a lot of countries that don't allow that, like Malaysia. A lot of countries, if you become a citizen, they require that you relinquish citizenship of your country of origin. So, as you talked about divided loyalty, what's happening? Why is it, you know, the Obamaites and these other groups who are Obama? What did he do? Was it 13 million that he assured? I think some South American countries that he would. That he would allow these illegals to all, at one stroke of the pen, become American citizens. Of course, we know about anchor babies. But you made an excellent point. The immigrant invasion, it is an invasion. The outcome would have been the same if they had invaded us with tanks. But it was even more of a cultural coup. It was even more of a cultural coup because they didn't destroy any of the infrastructure in the process. So it was to their advantage. They just walked in, or actually they were invited in by the oligarchs. And who are these oligarchs? What are their names? You know, some of them are named Bernanke. some of them are named Greenspan. You know what I'm saying? So we have to be really clear on what we're dealing with. I mean, any thoughts?
Hey, I couldn't agree with you more. And the question, and, you know, the Agenda 21, people that are fighting Agenda 21, which we are too, need to... But it's all this globalization, this one world government that they want. They do not want the United States to be a sovereign country. They want to redistribute the wealth they take from us, give to these others. And this is what is so sick about the socialists who support Obama, King Obama, who don't understand that you are literally being converted into a serf, and you don't even know it. They're taken away from those of us who work, giving it to those who don't, and at the end of the day, those people, the ones who think they're not working today and they're leeching off the system today, they're going to be assigned their little corner, their compound that they're going to stay in, and then they're going to be told to report for work at such and such a day and time, and they're going to do it because they're not going to have the freedom they have today. They don't understand this is destroying the freedom and this redistribution of wealth that you're not going to – most Americans, I mean, you can't get people to wake up. It's happening now, Agenda 21, people are starting to learn more about what it really means, and to think that you're not going to have the right to own your own private home. And Agenda 21 says air conditioning is not sustainable. you're not going to have a car. They're going to ship you around and herd you around like a bunch of serfs. And this is because we keep letting this other culture come in and say this is the way it's going to be. And this has been going on. It was Eisenhower who first warned us about the industrial-military complex.
Exactly.
Yes, go ahead.
No, I was saying, the military-industrial complex. He was a brilliant man, Eisenhower.
Mm-hmm. Eisenhower was. Eisenhower, and he was a true statesman. What he did for this country. He wasn't out there trying to game the system. I mean, we have so much crud in public office today, and they shouldn't be there. But the system is so rigged against us. If we do not have a second revolution, a peaceful second revolution, the reason we have the Second Amendment is saw some joke just recently. The Second Amendment, in case they ignore all the rest, that's why we have a Second Amendment. We don't have a Second Amendment to go duck hunting. We have a Second Amendment to control this government. But we shouldn't have to do that. I, as Charlie talked about earlier, and I'm not sure how long you've been listening, but he was talking earlier, people have to be ready to do a massive march on Capitol Hill and at your state capitals and at your local commissions and city halls and things like that. We have got to get back in the face of these people who have taken over and allowed this country to be taken over. Here in Florida, now you're up in New York, and Lord only knows all the things I can think about saying with New York and Bloomberg, and, you know, you're not even allowed to buy a 2 16-ounce drink. Well, you can buy 2 16-ounce. You can't buy
incredible.
A 20-ounce drink.
That's incredible, isn't it? I mean, that's just so obvious. Yeah, that's so obviously fascist, isn't it? Isn't this incredible?
It is. And I guess one of the most amazing things to me, and when we talk about culture in this country, here it was the Northeast was New England. That's where it really all started. Everything started up in that part of the country as the formation of the United States and our Constitution and everything. Everything was going on there, yet these people have surrendered their rights faster than anybody else. And New Yorkers of the personalities you think what we stereotype New Yorkers to be,
rude,
grumpy people,
arrogant,
are nice.
Aggressive, right?
And yet they're okay. As soon as Bloomberg cracks the whip, nope, you're not allowed to smoke in a restaurant. Nope, you're not allowed to buy a 20-ounce drink. Nope. It's like, what is this? These New Yorkers have split personalities.
Yeah, I agree. Really, they're weak and ineffectual. Without a doubt.
You
remember when John Rocker came here, the baseball player, and he looked around and he saw all the immigrants. He said, this isn't America. And if this is not a racist statement, it's true. You know, the rate of immigration was meant so that people could assimilate into the country. You know, there is no hyphenated American. You're just an American. Those of us Americans who've been in this country for several generations, we don't have anywhere else to go. You know, our connection to Europe or wherever else we came from, it's not necessarily severed, but it's become blurred. You know, you have other immigrants from Russia. I mean, there's a massive influx of Russians who speak Russian, go back and forth to Russia. And, you know, quite frankly, they're not that interested or concerned with what happens to this country. I liken it to the analogy of a life raft. You know, it only has a capacity of 20 people. There are other people swimming around. But, because some of the people on that raft, you know, they have compassion for those other people, you know, we'll let them come onto our raft. Although we only have enough provisions and only enough capacity to save 20 people. So what happens by allowing even more people to get on the raft out of compassion or sentiment, right, because we have this belief we're a nation of immigrants. No, we're not a nation of immigrants. We're a nation of Americans. We're no longer immigrants anymore. That was done away with a while ago. You know, so we all wind up dying because of our sentiment. We have to get beyond sentiment and stop being more practical and look at the basic logistics of what immigration really represents. You say globalization has really destroyed. It began with NAFTA under Clinton. The Democrats, really, it began with NAFTA under Clinton, which was not in our best interest. That was in the best interest of the corporatists. You know, that's not even capitalism. Corporatism is not capitalism. It's not a free market. They're establishing monopoly like Walmart's. So, yeah, you know, it's not just economic, the invasion and the destruction of America, but it's culture. And we do have a distinct culture. We do have a sense of freedom and a love of our country. And that, you know, but now if you say you love America, people will call you a racist. People will call you all kinds of names and epithets. Why is that? Because these other groups have accrued in such power socioeconomically and politically. They've accrued in such power that now they're influencing our government. It's almost beyond, I mean, I don't know if people listen to Tom Mesker, whether, you know, he has, some people don't believe in his politics, but he made a point that it's almost beyond a point of no return, where we almost may have to have some kind of, you know, final solution or by any means necessary in order to resolve this. Because, you know, politically, I think our country's lost. It's lost.
Well, and, you know, we talk here plenty on American Statesman that to a certain degree, I think the country has already fallen. Well, the thing is, I think we can still save it. And the thing that I do thank God about is it doesn't take a majority to make a difference. It was a small minority that truly did the American Revolution. Because I've often said, if we had to have another revolution today, would we be able to make it? There's an awful lot of these people that would not be able to take it. They wouldn't do it. They'd just sit there and keep watching the Super Bowl. But there's that, and it's the truth. And I mean, again, that's been the dumbing down of Americans. It's like, you know, there's something pathetic, and I just heard it this past week talking about how much money some of these college coaches make. We're not worried about educating the student body. We're not definitely not educating them on the Constitution. We're worried about making them a commodity on a football field so that we can raise money so we can do whatever the heck we want to do. I mean, it's pathetic. This is what this culture has turned into. However, you know, I feel like we have enough patriots who truly believe in what this country stands for and actually have taken the time to learn about what's going on that we still have a chance. And I think Ron Paul is going to be a big part of that. I think Glenn Beck's going to be a big part of that. You have these people, Alex Jones is another one. These out there who are getting past the crooked media. Ron Paul obviously had his challenges with the media when it came to the election. But getting past the media, and they're trying, of course, shut down the Internet so we can't communicate. But once the group of us really start taking over what's going on with this Agenda 21 and this culture, I think the sheeple will follow. Because all of a sudden when you say, well, wait a minute, you can't have that car. You know, that cell phone that Obama gave you? You can't have it anymore. You know what? Instead of you getting a food stamp card, you're going to go stand in that soup line. Things are going to be different, people. Yeah. Would you wake up and smell the whatever?
Our country was much stronger when we didn't have a welfare state or a nanny state. People relied upon each other. We were interdependent. We were much more of a hardy people. It's just made people fat and lazy, you know, these entitlements, you know. It really made us fat and lazy. So it may come. Things may have to get worse before they get better. And I agree. I think to wake people up, you know. So when things get really, really bad, I'm not too discouraged. I don't disparage that. I think that's what it will take in order to, like people say, like alcoholics, you have to hit rock bottom in order for them to begin to recover. I think we have to do that too. And I believe we have the capacity to do it. But, you know, hopefully that there will be a lot of casualties, as we are now. I mean, not just psychologically, but in other ways. There's going to be a lot of casualties. Listen, I don't want to keep you. It's been a great pleasure. Again, my name is Sal. My real name is Sal. So, you know, I hope I'm going to be a regular listener. Both of you are really great. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for calling in. We appreciate it. And continue listening.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Well, bye-bye. Okay. Well, excuse me. That was a very interesting discussion there. And yet it's so true. We have lost our identity. We cease to have be a united people. And, I mean, I've been putting this out there all over the place. I've been reading it off of George Washington's farewell address. And people have got to understand enough of how this all happened to be able to fix it. You can't fix the problem if you don't know what the problem is. So we've got to get back to some of the most basics. And, you know, it was Jefferson who really fought for term limits. Jefferson and Adams and a few of the others. But Jefferson was truly the most adamant that we had to have term limits. And by not having term limits, not having that be the whole strategy going along, look at what has happened to this government. It's because of not having term limits, you have these people who are able to get a stranglehold of the system and who are there for 20, 30 years. These people, nobody should be allowed to sit in any public office for more than 12 years total. And I'm talking about every public office, whether that be state, local, whatever. You know, when these people get, and here's the chain of events. They start on a local local commission, local city council, whatever, the local board. Then they go to the state. And from the point that they go, okay, they're a county, I'll give this as just one process here. And think about that most of these terms are 2 to 4 years, and at the state level, most of them I think are 4. So you have a county commissioner who then becomes the county chairman or county mayor, and they were in the commission twice. They stay, you know, they were reelected once. Then they go to that next seat, and they're in there twice. Then they go as a state representative, and they're in there twice. Then they go to the Senate, and they're in there twice. Then they may go to the governorship, and they're in there twice. Then they go to Congress, the House of Representatives, and they're in there for two umpteen years. Then they go to the Senate, and those are 6-year terms. You know, forget the presidency, just but all that other stuff. You got these people in public office for 40 years, the same people pulling the strings. And as they started up through that food chain, starting at that bottom local level, they just kept getting their fingers more and more entrenched with all the special interests. and the lobbyists. And I have to say this because I was just reading it today. People know I do not like Congressman John Mica. He's a rhino to the max. He's a crook, and his family of lobbyists. It's absolutely despicable. There was some stuff going out there about his daughter being a lobbyist for natural gas. He's got a brother who's a lobbyist out there in the oil industry, and then he sits on the transportation board. The whole thing is just so corrupt. And this is because we allow these people to stay in there indefinitely. So know that we have cultivated a corrupt system. We've allowed them to be there. They went in office for 2 years. They did a good job. We really thought they were good. Fine, so you reelect them. And little by little, they're getting embedded and entrenched in these different special interests, and then they take over. And this is exactly what's happened at a national level when it comes to all these immigrants, the illegal and illegal. And when I say illegal, I'm pointing to legal immigrants. We have people who come over in this country legally, like H-1B visas and student visas and whatever else, and then they stay here. They do not leave. They overstay what they were allowed to do. And then, of course, you have those who enter the country illegally. And then we have these people who don't want to do anything about it. They don't want to enforce the immigration code. And I mean, the true libertarian, I'll call the extreme of libertarian party, doesn't believe we should have any borders. I don't quite agree with that. I think we do have to have borders. I consider the borders of the country the same as the borders of my house. And there's some issues, some craziness that happens with Florida law about owning a house. If you own a house, does anybody have the right to come in and live in it? And there's been adverse ownership or, yeah, something, some crazy name. So somebody who was on vacation for several months because they went overseas or something, they come back and there's people who took over their house. And they had the right to do it. So they said. So are we saying the same thing about our country? Well, wait a minute. You have the right to come in. Sharia, forget the rule of law that we have in this country. That we don't allow honor killings. We don't allow you to stone a woman to death because of being raped. We don't do those things in this society. But, okay, you've come in, and now we follow Sharia. What we do doesn't matter. It's what you do. And because you are less humane, less respectful of human life, we're supposed to sit here and be stoned to death by you because we left the door wide open. No. No, that is not the way it's supposed to be. And so, yes, I do believe we need borders. And if we would just enforce the current laws, we don't have a problem. The problem is we don't enforce the current laws. We just enforce the current laws, it won't happen. And I have I would like to see them put the wall up down on that south border. And if we have to put it up on the northern one too. But Canada's a little bit different. Due to the weather and things like that, it's not quite as easy to always cut through there. And we work a little bit more easily with Canada as well. So, but if we need one there too, go for it. But we definitely need one on that southern border. To allow people who hate us, who want to destroy this country, to just waltz in and take over is not right. And I find it interesting, too, that the number one job of the federal government is national security. That's the one they do. They fail at just about everything they do, but it's definitely they are not successful in national security. Might be seen as heroes around the world where they're going out there bombing people all over the place, having wars all over the place, but they can't even secure their own homeland. And, I mean, I have so much respect for the military. It's not them calling the shots on that stuff. It's the powers that be up in D.C., King Obama. The other thing I wanted to make sure I talked about, see if I can pull the article up. There are still, please do not give up on reversing Obamacare. Because, you know, the original ruling at the Supreme Court was when all the states got together and all the states were going up there and fighting it in their own. But now we've got the individuals who are going there, and the individuals are challenging it. And right now it's still wide open. we still have very much a good chance to reverse Obamacare. So please do not give up on that. Keep pushing the morons in D.C. to repeal it. We already know we know it will never be fully repealed for the next 4 years because we have King Obama in there. However, unless this Supreme Court, there's another Supreme Court ruling against it. But the whole point is there's other things that these so-called conservatives, Bonehead Boehner up there, could do to shut it down, to block the funding for it. Of all the things we don't need to be wasting our money on, it's Obamacare. So keep pushing for it. Please do not give up on it. It's still, I mean, trying to see if I can actually find the article I had on that where it's in the process of being reversed, that we still have lawsuits, individual lawsuits. So don't think we had to stop with the states. The other thing is, and I have these items posted in the chat room, so if you've been out in the chat room, you've seen them. I put the links out there where you can go check on these things. We are on the road to World War III. And you know there's people are going to say, oh, no, no, yeah, you know, they just don't want to believe it. We are. And there's this video. It's like 20 minutes. It only takes about 20 minutes to watch it. And it goes through some of the history. And I don't want to misstate anything. I want, you know, it's better for you to see it yourself and see it a couple times. But you see the course of events that have been happening and where it's leading and where we're at now. And it's of no surprise that we have all this chaos in the Middle East. Some people don't like Ron Paul because of his foreign policy, but Ron Paul has been correct. We should not be engaged in all these wars in the Middle East. We're not doing anything to protect our own sovereignty. We're going bankrupt, and we're not necessarily moving the cause of freedom forward anyplace. I mean, just again, looking at what's happening with Egypt right now. So we need to be out of that kind of stuff, but we also need to realize because of the leadership, and this has not been just Obama. You know, people know that I am not a fan of King Obama. I was not a fan of George Bush, and I definitely wasn't a fan of Clinton. So I haven't been a fan of too many of them in the past few years. And the recklessness of what they do with foreign policy, which all stems to good old Agenda 21 again. I mean, I can't stress how much Agenda 21 gets in the middle of this stuff. This one world order, this globalist mentality, that we're all one big happy family. I don't think we have to be one big happy family. You know what? Muslims, you like your way of life, stay over in your country and practice whatever it is you want. America is not a Muslim society. We are a Christian, God-fearing society. And for you to think that you're going to come over here and take over that is not right, and we shouldn't be allowing you to. We shouldn't be over there trying to change your culture. You should do what you want to do. It's not our place to be over there. And so we can't even protect ourselves. But these bits and pieces, this turmoil that is going on all over the world, where do you think it's going to lead? It's going to lead to World War III. That's where we're heading. And if you watch this video, I think you will find it really interesting because it just says, you know, yeah, that's what's happening here. Of course, we would never learn any of that in public school because they don't believe in teaching us anything in public school these days. But please take a look at that and see what it really is. We are, if you got younger kids, you better be getting yourself and them prepared for some rough times. I mean, I wasn't here during World War II, so I can't tell you what it was like. But I know based on the history we have been taught, it was a rough time. It wasn't pretty. We had a different mindset. We had a different set of values. We were united back then. Not that everybody wanted supported war or anything like that, but we were united as a nation and as a people. And so I think the fact we've been so divisive, we've been divided against ourselves so much lately, that I somewhat fear what will happen when this event happens. I don't know. But I can see World War III coming. I really do see it. I fear it. And some would say, well, there'll never be another world war because of the technology we have, we'll just be exploding the whole world, so it won't matter. nobody's going to survive World War III. And that may be the truth. Maybe World War III does represent the end. I don't know. But, you know, watch this video and just think about what it says. It was very interesting information. Very interesting out there. Let's see. We had there was another article out there. Ever since Morsi, he's been out there. Our King Obama has not spoken to him. So it's kind of interesting that I haven't really heard myself any comments from King Obama on what's going on in Egypt. And if anybody's heard any specific comments from him on that whole thing, what he thinks about what's going on, please share it with us. The thing I find ironic, which I said earlier, it's like, you know, people are out there looking at this guy and the nerve of him to go and just do this power grab and take over. And he's just going to, he's going to totally bypass the judicial system. All that means nothing. There's no checks and balances. He's king. He's, what's the other name, Pharaoh. He's taken over. I don't see it being that much different than what's happening right here in this country at all levels. Here at the local level, Orange County, Charlie was talking about it. You have a mayor who totally violates the Sunshine Laws, texting information back and forth to friends, then deleting this, which should all be part of public record, and nothing's done. The mayor of Orange County and two of the commissioners of Orange County totally violated that law, but they're still sitting on that commission like nothing happened. Nothing was done to them about it. And then you have King Obama, who goes out there and writes, if Congress won't do what he wants, he writes his executive orders, even when the executive orders are a violation of the Constitution. He goes out and declares his own wars. He talks to the United Nations. He ignores Congress. But what does Congress do? What is our Congress doing about it? They're saying, oh, well, it's King Obama. He's in charge now. It's just not that different than what's happening in Egypt. Same at the state level. State level's going out there changing laws on property rights, taking away the property of the American people, public assets, and private property to give them to the United Nations. The United Nations owns many, many national parks. People find that hard to believe, but it's the truth. It's unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable. And but what are people going to do about it? When it comes to Agenda 21, it's the ultimate example of the silent takeover. And it all started with a Republican by the name of George Bush. George Bush Sr., 1992, signed the agreement with the United Nations for a new world order. Those are his words. Go look it up. George Bush, a new world order. He and his son, George Bush Jr. there, and of course Jeb Bush too, who's here in Florida, they are globalists. They are one world order people. It was George Bush Jr. who signed the Security Prosperity Partnership of North America. He was out there, and there's still some doing it, creating the North American Union. One currency. This had nothing to do with Obama. Obama wasn't even on the scene at that point in time when they started this. And the way they have silently just taken over, and when you read up on what they did, it was just a massive plan to take over this country. And it's happening. But as Glenn Beck has promoted in his Agenda 21 book, this is stuff you can do at the local level. We have the power, and we need to start at the state and local levels. And I am looking for volunteers here in Florida. And I do work with some other people already, so I'm going to be coordinating efforts with some of the other people that are out there fighting Agenda 21, saying we do not belong in the United Nations. The United States should withdraw from the United Nations. We should stop funding the United Nations. We should take care of ourselves. We have to stop trying to take care of the world because we're killing ourselves in the process. It's all nice and hunky-dory to want to be out there thinking that we're out there saving the world. but we're not. We're destroying our world. We're destroying our own rights, our own freedoms, and we're not making anyone else's life better either. So we have got to get involved locally. And I mean, I have sent, and people have seen, you know, I've copied people on the emails I have sent to Tallahassee and to the Orange County Commission. Also, information I sent to Marco Rubio. And I've sent it to various news media. But remember, the news media has been converted to part of the government. They are truly a wing or an arm of the government, and they protect the government. Freedom of the press is supposed to be about real information, them being the watchdog over what the public servants were doing and reporting the truth back to us. But media doesn't do that anymore. I have sent very specific things to the local channel here, Channel 6, WKMG. Tony Pipitone's one of the reporters there. I've sent stuff to him asking, why aren't you reporting on Agenda 21? Why aren't you reporting on the property rights for people here in Florida? We're losing our property rights. Why aren't you reporting on ICLEI, which is the International Council of Local Environmental Initiatives, which is another arm of Agenda 21, United Nations? Why aren't you reporting on this? People need to know this is what's happening. We're losing our property rights. The United Nations is taking over. No response. He would not even respond to the email. And, of course, he hasn't covered anything on it. And this is a guy who's supposed to be an investigative reporter. And I'm not picking on him specifically. It's just typical. But, I mean, I made a point just recently to contact him, say, why aren't you guys doing this? You know, news media, it's a farce. It's a joke anymore. And so, again, you got to go seek out the truth yourself. We do have a lot of information out there on the Internet. And of course, you can't go to just one place and think everything's going to be there. You have to do a lot of digging, and you have to find out the truth. And then you have to be informed and start sharing the knowledge. We have to come together as a people, share the information, and then take back this country. And I'll tell you, I think it's so sad when the issue of race and the issue of nationality, background, whether you're Hispanic, whether you're German, whether you're Russian, whether you're Canadian, whether you're whatever, it's not about that. It's about being Americans. If we refuse to be Americans, we are truly lost. You know, the fall of the Roman Empire, history does repeat itself. Apparently, something came out with our good old friend over there in Russia, Putin. He's out there talking about that Russia now wants to move more towards a capitalist society, and the Americans are being laughed at for having reelected the socialist Obama. It's like, you know, the Americans are so silly. How stupid they are! They're destroying their own future. But we've learned our lesson, so we're moving forward. We're moving into a more capitalist society. And I'm not, that's by no means an exact quote, but that was the gist of it. And I found that to be very interesting, too. It's like, okay, the world saw how great things were here in America. They've taken some lessons. They're doing some of their own things. While we have the globalists here, the liberal progressives, whatever you want to call it, New World Order folks, doing their best to destroy this country. Destroying it from the most silent ways. And that comes true with the religion, the Muslim religion. And I put the question out there, and I'll put it out there again today, and then I'll tell you my take on it, is can you be an American and a Muslim at the same time? Can you be an American and a Muslim? I mean, you can be a Christian American, you know, as an American you can be of a Christian faith. But can you be a Muslim and an American at the same time? I don't think so. I don't see how you can. The Muslim faith doesn't believe in anything that we do as Americans. How can you be an American and be a Muslim at the same time? In a legal sense, yes, because of freedom of religion. But from a culture perspective, can you be a Muslim and an American at the same time? I don't think you can. I just don't see how you can. How can you be true, faithful and true to your Muslim faith and still believe in what America stands for. America doesn't believe in stoning people to death. America doesn't believe in honor killings. A young girl gets involved with a young boy, and they do things they weren't supposed to do out of marriage, outside of marriage. And so now they're supposed to, the girl, not the boy, the boy's okay. The boy can do what he wants to, but the girl is has dishonored the family and is supposed to be put to death. And we've even had some sick courts in this country allow this stuff, allow some of this. But we cannot allow that. That's not what America's about. We are not a Muslim country. But we're being converted into one. We're being forced. We're being told, hey, you know what? Diversity. Diversity. How many times have you heard that stupid word, diversity? Diversity, yes, we are all unique and we are all different, and we should all be respected for the individuals we are. However, you don't have the right to go and take another life just because you feel like it. That's not the way it works. And so we have to get back to what being an American is all about. And I have been, like I said, I have sent so much stuff. The American Creed, if you're not familiar with it, please learn the American Creed, because that's what it's about. I believe the American Creed is truly more reflective of what we should say as our allegiance than the Pledge of Allegiance, even though I obviously believe in the pledge. But the American Creed really puts it to what we are as a people, those who sacrifice for this country, and that as a citizen, as an American, it is our duty to uphold the Constitution and to defend this country against all enemies. That's all enemies. And don't think we don't have enemies in public office today, because we do. We have a lot of them. We've got people, two mayors who are twin brothers in Texas. They don't. They think that the Alamo don't believe in, you know, the Alamo. They think the Alamo was stealing land from Mexico. These are people who are Americans sworn to office to protect the Constitution and protect the Constitution of the state of Texas, but they hate Texas. They hate the Alamo. They hate what America stands for. But these people are in public office. What do you think they're going to do? They promote sanctuary cities. They promote illegal immigration. They promote the invasion of the United States of America. They're traitors. And I think we have to start talking a lot more about what that means, too. In the past, you know, you really had to be careful when you said treason or traitor. These people are guilty of treason. The NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act. And it has nothing to do with party. Anybody that thinks the Republican Party is going to save this country, you are drinking too much Kool-Aid. You are swimming in the Kool-Aid. Would you please get out of the Kool-Aid and wake up? Because right now you've got the Republican Party caving in on the tax stuff, and there's no reason to do it. Yes, there's compromise and all that fun stuff. Yes, you know, you've got two sides of the issues here, and yes, you have to work together. But when you sacrifice the principles and the rights of the American people, the welfare of the American people, then you stand for nothing. And people say, well, why do you always jump on the case of the Republicans? Well, some people think Republicans are supposed to be conservatives. I know. You know, what a joke. But that is why I get on the case. The Democrats were supposed to be about people's rights, and truly, they're, what are the NDAA, Democrats? Why aren't you fighting for what they've done? Why aren't you fighting about the Patriot Act? Even though I think if you go back and look at the vote, in both cases, the Patriot Act and NDAA were passed because of Republicans. Both anti-constitutional acts, and they were passed because of the Republicans. More Republicans supported them than the Democrats. So But I, again, I would say the Democrats are not by any means clean, and they're just as in bed with the big banks. Dodd-Frank is one of the worst things for the smaller community banks and for the lower middle income and lower income people. These things weren't for them, and these were Democrats that did this. So the parties mean nothing. The Republicans pretend to believe in the Constitution, but they don't. They don't. So I see more and more talk out there about a third party, which, as those of you who listen frequently know, I am a no-party affiliate. I have been in other parties, and I will not be part of a political party again. I will follow, as George Washington said, and do not be part of a party. The political parties divide. The political parties empower unprincipled individuals and give them way too much control. And that's why Charlie and I are working on We the People versus the Ballot Box Establishment. And we're still going to move forward. And for those who aren't familiar with it, we filed a complaint with the FBI back in May of this year. And people were calling the FBI asking them the status of it. They started hanging up on people. But we're going to go out there now that the election's over. Maybe they can actually do their job. Not sure if they can, but we're going to go pursue it again. And we're also working with some other people who have been victims of trying to run for public office and been denied access to run for public office basically because of the laws here in Florida. And so we're going to work with them. Try to take that back as well. Let's see, there's something else here I wanted to make sure I mentioned. Okay. We talked about that. When it comes to, let's see here, there was an article, that's what it was. This was an article through the Atlanta Journal and Constitution up in Georgia, A Real Agenda, Not Conspiracy Theory. This was a very interesting article because it actually got into the fact that those who kept denying Agenda 21, they finally said, I can't ignore it anymore. I'm going to read just the first part of this sentence. When I read page 185 of the March 2011 Cobb County Comprehensive Plan that the county supports the advancement of sustainable development policies as defined by the United Nations Division of Sustainable Development, I could no longer ignore that the UN Agenda 21 policies are real and thriving in America. This is what they said. This is, again, this is why you got to get involved at the local level. This is Cobb County in Georgia. And sustainable development, that's the other word you'll hear. Agenda 21 and sustainable development are the same thing. I mean, so it's all about the same thing. It was called Agenda 21 because it was supposed to be for the 21st century kind of thing. But sustainable development, and they make it sound so nice. Gosh, that sounds like a good thing. We want to protect the planet. We want to protect the water. But it also goes into the redistribution of wealth. It denies rights to own property. It denies rights to own an automobile, private property. It's much bigger than most people realize. But this was so telling. When I read on page 185 of the March 2011 Cobb County Comprehensive Plan that the county supports the advancement of sustainable development policies as defined by the United Nations Division of Sustainable Development, I could no longer ignore the UN Agenda 21, A21 policies were real and thriving in America. People have no idea what a grip they have already got on this country. The UN policies are detailed in a 300-page document along with the local Agenda 21 planning guide. This, again, it's local. You've got to get in the face of these people. For the sake of those here in Orange County, Florida, Central Florida, I have made a couple of requests to speak to the county commission about sustainable development here in Orange County. They totally ignore me. I've requested, and I'm going to send a certified letter in the next week or two, requesting time after the first of the year. Doubt seriously I'll get a chance to be in there in December. but I'll try to excuse me, talk about what sustainable development has done to Orange County, Florida, how it's destroyed our community and has not enhanced our quality of life, and has taken away our rights. But they just want to ignore you. So we have to get in their face. We have to go there. And I tell you, when you see these people who run for public office, if they were not involved in the growth management, the developers, and these pieces, people, when they started, they end up getting involved in these various special interests before it's all said and done. And these are who they work for. They don't work for us. They absolutely do not work for us. Let's see. Sold as protecting the environment, sustainable development policies are far more reaching than our fields and our streams. A21 outlines plans for control of the land use, housing, transportation, food production, consumption patterns, water, energy, education, the role of industry in healthcare. Sound familiar? Yep, sure does. We have been bombarded with these global plans of change. This is all part of the New World Order, One World Government, where we are controlled by the United Nations. Agenda 21 means the United States no longer exists. That's what it is. And again, I put links out there in the chat room. If you're not familiar with it, there's some out there that are 14 minutes long that give you the scope of what it is. From there, you can go do more research. You can go to the UN Agenda 21 website. You can go to the ICLEI website. And again, ICLEI is the International Council of Local Environmental Initiatives. Here in Orange County, Orlando, Orange County, they are members, paying members into this association to take our rights away from us as Americans. These people in public office are destroying the United States of America. Is that not treason? Is it not treason for any elected public servant to surrender the rights of the American people to the United Nations? Because that's what they're doing. Public-private partnerships. That's another biggie. They act like public-private partnerships. This way we're fee-based and we're privatizing. Well, they give you a line of BS about trying to make it sound so good, and that is better for the taxpayers, but it's not what it is. Public-private partnerships are the collusion of the government and the private sector, which ends up becoming the government. And they're doing this big time with the highway infrastructure, selling national infrastructure to foreign entities. That's what they're doing. They're doing it here in Florida, even though it violates the Constitution of the state of Florida. No one cares. These people in public office are, again, just like the guy over there in Egypt, we don't have to follow the Constitution. We manipulate it whatever way we want to. We get a few legal beagles in here manipulating the language, twisting it all up. We'll do what we want to. We're kings. We're in charge. The people are the serfs. Let's see in here. We've got, as adults, we are familiar with the marketers using positive labels to encourage us to act in ways not always in our best interest. These words are in the Agenda 21 plan, were carefully chosen to make us feel better about giving up our sovereign rights. Conversely, negative labeling and hate speech are used when citizens disagree. I mean, this is the same thing. If you want to own a car and you want to put fuel in it, fossil fuels for the car, that somehow you're polluting the world. You're the one who's destroying it. And then this other, if you're not using a bicycle, or if you're not riding some type of mass transit. Private personal transportation is not sustainable. You're not allowed to have that under Agenda 21. And you're not allowed to own private property. I can't stress that enough. Agenda 21 means you are not allowed to own private property. That means a private home, a private farm, a private automobile. You are not allowed to own private property. And it was both George Washington and John Adams who both said, you can't have liberty if you don't own private property. The two are inseparable. So you have no liberty, you have no rights if you do not have the right to own private property. But this is what Agenda 21 is. Okay, then this is not a Republican or Democrat issue. elected servants in both parties have worked to implement regionalism. That's the next word, regionalism, because they want to get rid of the county sheriff. The county sheriff is the constitutional officer of your state. They want to get rid of those guys. Okay, implement regional and public-private partnerships to fundamentally transform America. Economic models endorsing public-private partnerships violates free market principles by benefiting favored corporations, protecting private gains and leaving taxpayers obligated for the losses. It proposes a communitarian model of governance that is dramatically opposed to the American way. Excuse me, diametrically opposed to the American way. In reality, the UN policies include plans to re-engineer human society through regional equity schemes to spread the wealth. Regionalism as a subset of Agenda 21 gives appointed regional councils control of vast sums of tax dollars, taxpayer dollars, while working unchecked. Once appointed, the taxpayers are unable to remove these councils through elections. It threatens our representative form of government. It violates our one-person, one-vote principle to equal legislative representation. The goals of protecting our natural resources are worthy. We can embrace the need to conserve air and water and land, as well as educate our children in a positive way. The real issue is the need for deeper research and honest dialogue into the ultimate goals of Agenda 21. This is what it really is about. Agenda 21, U.S. Sustainable Development, while preserving the American principles of respect for private property rights, free enterprise, and a representative government. We need to root out who really benefits from these sweeping changes, as it is not the American people. It is no accident across the U.S., including Georgians, are rejecting UN 21 policies. So this here, and I put the link in the chat room as well if you want to go read the article for yourself, this is what is happening to this country. Agenda 21, we are being undermined in so many different ways that it's pathetic and it's scary. And if Americans do not come together as Americans, unite as Americans, the land of the free, home of the brave, isn't going to be around. It really isn't. It just, we will be all one big part of the one world order, one world government, new world order, which was pushed by Republicans and Democrats. So get away from this addiction to these parties. You have to understand how much they are part of this. They're the ones who caused this problem. And when I say they caused it, I have to step back and say, well, the truth is the complacency and the lack of proper public involvement of the American people is what really caused it. But again, it was very quietly, peacefully being implemented through education. The dumbing down of Americans, the brainwashing of Americans. One of the worst things we have in this country is public education. And there are going to be those who are going to say, what? Wait a minute. Everybody has a right to an education. Yeah, they have a right. We can provide education for people without it being public education that is totally corrupted. And an indoctrination of a type to change the way people are taught. Here, they don't even want to teach about George Washington. They don't want to teach about the history of this country. They don't want to teach about what freedom means. They want to teach sustainable development. And that's because that's what public education does. We have to get away from public education. We have to go back to homeschooling or totally private type of education. Which, whether that means you have to have vouchers or whatever it is, so that every child, regardless of the family income, has an opportunity to have an education, we can do that. I don't have a problem with tax dollars going to help educate children, but I want them to be educated about what America is, not about this sustainable brainwashing development stuff that's going on, which is what is happening today. Our country is being destroyed right in front of us. Here we face a world war. All these things are coming together at the same time. There's going to be something massive happening. Don't ask me it's going to be in the next 2 years, 3 years. I definitely think it's going to be within the next 4 years. I don't think it's I think things we're going to see happen before Obama is out of office. If we can't get people in public office to do their job, and we stress that point on the show plenty to say, why is President Obama President Obama? Why haven't the people up in Congress, those two houses of Congress, why haven't they impeached him? Because he refuses to prove, to release information that would truly confirm that he's an American. I don't believe he's an American. I believe he was being groomed for this position, as many have suggested. And because Americans were so afraid to be called a racist, they voted for him because he was black. And he was also a very good communicator. Got to give it to him there. Yes, he definitely he could sell ice to an Eskimo. But for those of us who actually said, wait a minute, I'm going to go see what they've done. I'm not voting for just anybody. I'm not voting for a party individual, and I'm not voting based on race. I'm voting on based what the person is. And if you go back and look at the history of what he voted on or didn't vote on, half the time he didn't vote on anything. He abstained his vote. He was present, but he didn't vote. So it tells you a lot about what kind of person he is and was before he got elected. But I'm telling you, it makes no difference what party. Mitt Romney wasn't selected as the nominee by the Republican people, party members. He was selected by the party elites. And if they had to have a brain, I mean, if they didn't know he couldn't be elected, then how stupid were they? We said that here on the show, too. There were plenty of people pushing for Romney because they didn't want Obama reelected. So he wasn't going to be reelected. Everything the Republican Party did was to ensure that Obama got reelected. True. So let's see. What else as we wrap it up? Just got a couple minutes left here. I think I'm just going to wrap it up by going back to, I hope you had a very nice Thanksgiving holiday, and I hope you didn't shop on Thanksgiving. I hope you thank God for being an American, and I hope you thank God for what you have and what you don't have, and appreciate what the day is. Please do not fall. We've got to be a moral society. We've got to come together as a united people that actually believe in something. And being this mob frenzy thing, this nutsiness out there, shopping on Thanksgiving Day, I think just shows that we have fallen even further, that we've lost our way, that we're getting further and further from what we are as a people, as a society, as a culture. We do so much. Americans do so much to help each other out. We don't need government to do that for us. And we definitely need to go back to thinking, is it really more important to protect this country, or is it more important to watch a Super Bowl game? And if you are so inclined that, you know what, you're going to watch a Super Bowl game while the country is falling down and collapsing all around you, then you're a serf. You want to be a serf. You don't believe in freedom. You can't handle it. You have to be managed. Because you have no free will, you have no free thinking process. You're not an American. You might be standing on the soil of America, but if you're not an individual, an independent free will, a person of free will, you're not an American. And if you're not willing to fight for it, well, again, you're not an American. So we really need to come together if we want to remain a free society, and if you want this next generation to be a free society. And on that note, please, please get involved. Knock on the doors of those public servants. The more annoying you are to them, the better you're doing. Because to just say, would you please just do your job right? Would you do what you're supposed to do? That's not going to cut it. That's what we've been doing for years. We trusted them and then we asked. Now we have to come together, protest, get in the face of these people, force them out of office, get rid of the traitors, the treasonous, and stop the treasonous actions. It's up to you and me. It's up to we the people to do this. And on that note, thank you for tuning in. We'll be here Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Don't know what the subject's going to be yet. We're working on a few things, but please tune in. Please be involved. Be an American and nothing but an American. And may God bless and protect the USA. Good night, everyone.